Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. Let me introduce the crew. Guys, if you don't mind waiting for the video portion of our show, Chief Joel Schultz. You can reach him at schultzco@gmail.com. He's an author. He's a writer. And when I say writer, I mean, he's been writing for Police One for years. In fact, we've been covering Chief Schultz's articles for quite a while. It's a pleasure to have him on the show. So thanks for being on the show, Chief. He's got his Police One shirt on. And then we've got Chuck Springer, retired commander from LAPD, retired as a lieutenant. And now he's over in my neck of the woods. He's in Florida, a little bit closer to the southern border than I am. But welcome to the show as well, Chuck. A shout out to our sponsors, guys. Our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com, Compliant Technologies, our satellite sponsor. And I'm losing count, but I think we went satellite radio Cinco de Mayo, May the 5th. And I think we're wrapping up like our ninth week, I think, on satellite radio. Thanks to Compliant Technologies, we're having a blast. Also, gunlearn.com, bluethegold.com, mymedicare.life, and Safeguard Recruiting, our streaming sponsor. We're streaming, thanks to them, to 1.5 million people right now. And also to Bells, they built their new online store at leoroundtable.com. Check out some of our cool gear. And we don't charge extra for it. I pay what you guys pay. And we got a lot of gear that's on that store. We're just trying to get our gear out there. A shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at TampaFE.com. Thanks for carrying the content, Brian. Also read Dietrich, former lawman.com and lawofficer.com. Thanks to all those entities for helping make the show happen. And now let's go ahead and what are we going to be talking about today? Our first article, this is a pretty wild one, actually. Meme war veteran wins appeal after Biden DOJ jails him. So this guy was doing satire, and he got jailed for it. And I mean, like, about 7 years worth of jail. So it's a pretty interesting win. And then we have SCOTUS denies a Florida AG, that's the attorney general, request to enforce a controversial immigration law. We're going to cover that. And then we're jumping into the thick of it. We've got some stories with video components. If you guys can mute your mics, I'm getting some background noise. I got a woman armed with a gun and a machete, and she's shot by LAPD officers after a chase ends in a standoff. Now, Lieutenant Chuck asked us not to cover that, but Chief Schultz said, no way. I got too much goods I'm holding on LAPD, so we're going to have to cover that one first. Then we've got another one here. We got body cam video released in a fatal Baltimore police shooting of a 70-year-old woman. We got a former Las Vegas police officer convicted. You know what? I think I'm going to hold that till Randy's on the show. So this former Las Vegas police officer convicted of murder, but released from prison. We'll probably hold off on that one. But we got a BCSO, which is Bexar County Sheriff's Office. And that's in Texas. They released a body cam video of a deputy that's shooting a suspect multiple times amid a chase. And then we got a man fires a flare gun at a Marion County Sheriff's deputy. And that's a wild one, because the dude is already shirtless and then he takes his pants off during the order. It's just kind of weird. Then we got a CCTV. We haven't covered this one yet. I hope we get a chance to. Manchester Airport. There is a melee. Looked like a couple Middle Eastern dudes. And wow, I tell you, we got two or three female officers that are going down. We got cops, male cops, getting sucker punched. We got a male cop that looks like he doesn't forget about being sucker punched, because at the end, when everybody's down, there are some kicks flying. I see LAPD Chuck smiling on that one. So anyhow, hopefully we'll get time to cover that. So look, let's get started. RVMnews.com, which stands for Red Voice Media. Meme war veteran wins appeal after Biden DOJ jailed him. Now, I'd forgotten about this story, and I'm glad we're covering it now because it's kind of refreshing my memory on it. The United States Courts of Appeal for the Second Circuit, they unanimously, now look, I stress unanimously because it's made up of different players on the Second Circuit Court of Appeal. So they unanimously overturned the conviction of a guy named Douglas Mackey, and they did this just on Wednesday. They reversed a Biden DOJ prosecution of the online commenter, and he's a, you know, he's known under the pseudonym Ricky Vaughn. So his real name, Douglas Mackey, fake name, Ricky Vaughn. So if you heard of him, it's probably under the Ricky Vaughn name. But so Mackey, same guy, convicted back in 2023 on charges of election interference stemming from social media posts related to the 2016 presidential election. So it says that he wasn't convicted until 2023, but this happened back in 2016, like 7 years earlier. So the case focused on images that our guy shared under the name of Ricky Vaughn, including one that read, "Text Hillary to 59925. And federal prosecutors claimed that that was intended to mislead voters. Now, in its Wednesday ruling, the three-judge panel concluded that the evidence presented at the trial, it did not meet the legal threshold for conspiracy. Mackey argued on appeal that the evidence was insufficient to prove that he knowingly agreed to join the charged conspiracy. And that's what the decision read. And it goes on to say the decision marks a major reversal in one of the most high-profile cases brought on by the Biden era DOJ concerning online political speech. So that's what that's really what the most important thing about this is, political speech. Mackey had been arrested in January 2021. Remember, he was convicted 2 years later in 2023. And that shortly after President Joe Biden was sworn in the office. And I don't believe in things happening by chance. The investigation, it was led by the FBI, probably no shock there, prosecuted by the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Eastern District of New York. Following the conviction that happened last year, Mackey was sentenced to 7 months in federal prison. The DOJ at the time said that he had violated federal election laws by attempting to trick voters into casting their ballot via a text message, and which, of course, is not recognized. Mackey maintained that his posts were satirical in nature, and that he argued that the prosecution represented a violation of his First Amendment rights. And after he was sentenced, he appeared on the Tucker Carlson show, and he claimed that the federal government had criminalized political speech. Former President Donald Trump, in this 2024 campaign, he shared a video in support of Mackey. But Mackey repeatedly stated that he did not want to get a pardon on this. He wanted to be fully exonerated through the courts, which you got to applaud the guy, because if there was a chance for Trump to pardon him, he didn't want that. He wanted what he called total vindication. So through the appeals court decision, it looks like he may have got what he wanted. Following the ruling, he posted that now we sue. He did that on his X account, formerly Twitter, and signaling a potential lawsuit against federal agencies and officials that were involved in this case. Notably, the panel that ruled in Mackey's favor that reversed the decision, the conviction, they included both liberal and conservative appointed judges, which I think is fantastic. And it underlines the unanimous nature of the decision. Legal observers have pointed to the ruling as a significant precedent regarding the limits of criminal enforcement in cases involving political speech on social media. And so, you know, guys, as we talk about this case, I know the way the FBI involved in this case, no shocker because of how far off the grid they've gone, right? And how they've allowed themselves to be directed on what they do by a weaponized DOJ under a presidency for, you know, Biden presidency that was seeking to do that. But if you're a cop, whether you're at the federal level, state level, or wherever you're at, and you're directed to take enforcement action against someone in a situation like that, I want to cover that too. There's a lot of cops and civilians that are watching the show thinking that, you know, that we are, you know, there's some cops think that we blindly obey orders. And then there's citizens saying that you shouldn't, you should question everything, which I, of course, don't believe in. We're paramilitary, but as we talk about this, keep that in mind. And I can't wait to hear your comments, gentlemen. We got about a little under 4 minutes before we take our first commercial break. And Chuck Springer, you're up first.
Yeah, I can't really speak too intelligently on this, Chip. When you sent me the article, that's the first time I ever knew of this instance. You know, reading the article, just in general, you know, our opinion of articles is they leave a lot of information out, but it certainly seems like the prosecution's a little bit dubious here. But really what I want to opine on more is the DOJ and the weaponization side of things here. You know, we talked about Phoenix PD and the consent decree that they were looking at a while back, and how DOJ, it appears, blatantly falsified a lot of data in order to rationalize enact a consent decree. And ultimately, I think as a result of that, you saw that Trump administration got rid of all pending consent decrees. But really what this is we talk about the fruit of the poison tree when we talk about evidence. I look at the DOJ right now, and there's just more and more evidence that the entire DOJ is just one giant poisonous tree. You know, hopefully under this current administration, they make some progress in reversing that, because the last thing that I want to have in my country is a federal law enforcement system that is suspect. I want to be able to have confidence in them.
Makes complete sense. Now, Chief Schultz, you never know where he's going to go on a topic like this. So we're taking a risk because we're live radio. We are governed by FCC guidelines, but Chief Schultz never lets that get in the way of a good conversation or commentary. So Chief, the floor.
No, that's right. If we do get to the UK video, I just want to know if FOOK is an FCC violation over in the UK.
I don't know.
You know, Jerry Seinfeld a while back said that political correctness was kind of the death of comedy, and he's backed off from that a little bit. But there are so many societal bruises that have happened in the last 12 years with cultural changes. And this is not, I think, entirely disconnected from the Brennan Comey thing, because there are so many threads through this fabric of persecution and prosecution and narratives that have taken place. You remember the story of Jerry Falwell, the nationally known evangelist who sued Hustler magazine for labeling him the a-hole of the month in one of their pornographic magazine columns. And the Supreme Court said very clearly that satire is protected speech. And you talk about an administration that completely lost its sense of humor. That was one of them. So I'm glad that Mackey has been vindicated, and maybe we can all laugh at stuff again.
So in taking this, and I know I'm getting ready to start the music here, so we're like 30 seconds out from a hard break. I'd like to take this one step further. So when I've written an article before about if cops are asked to go door to door and ask for people's guns. We've done that before with things like gold and stuff. But let's cover that briefly when we come back. Commercial break, guys. We'll be right back. All right, guys. Now it's time to talk about our title sponsor at Gauls, and that is Gauls.com. And, you know, as police officers, we all know that we can buy our gear from a lot of different sources. And then when you throw the online mix into it, your choices really are almost unlimited, right? But I want to remind everybody here about the importance of supporting the companies that actually support law enforcement. You know, a lot of people say they do, but they realistically don't. But I don't know of a company that fits that bill better than Gauls at Gauls.com. Even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which of course they do in spectacular fashion. And they walk the talk by supporting dozens, and I mean dozens, of focused organizations like this radio show. So when it comes to getting your gear, please support our title sponsor by going to Gauls at Gauls.com. And they have gift cards. We give away a couple of those every week on the show. And if you have family, friends, and loved ones, which I'm sure you do, please hook them up with a new Gauls gift card at Gauls.com, and they'll be your new best friends. Again, guys, that website, Gauls.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, your host. We're joined by Chief Joel Schultz and Lieutenant Chuck Springer. And we have been talking about a very interesting decision. And, you know, where we're going, I know your mic is open, Chief Schultz, and I was kind of hoping to kind of dabble into, you know, the area on if cops should blindly obey orders. What if you're instructed to do something that you have a personal conflict with, or you think that the statute is being misinterpreted? People might be surprised at my feelings on this, because you know when you run an organization, especially paramilitary, you don't need to be given orders to a platoon or a squad and have people start questioning your freaking orders. You'll never get anything done, right? You have to go do something at an abortion clinic. You have to get rid of protesters, or they're doing it the wrong way, and enforce them, arrest people, you know, but I'm curious, you know, what you guys think. And this particular one, we had a guy that was arrested for satire, and he was arrested by the feds. But now we found out that, hey, after all, it was protective speech. He spent, you know, 7 months in the slammer, and now he's going to sue, and rightfully so. And I think that he should, but I hate the weaponization of government. But I know that this point comes up all the time. I do, in our social media accounts, I always have people asking this question. So Chief Schultz, not that there's pressure, but I'm so glad you're on today's show, because you're the voice of reason, and you think deeper than most people. So I'd love to get your input on this.
You know, it's obviously a double-edged sword. I didn't pledge allegiance and take an oath of office to serve and protect my governor or my mayor, but the Constitution. And so that's where our loyalties have to lie. We also have some real challenges in many states, like my own, where you have a legal obligation to interfere if you see something that shouldn't be happening. And in the Clear Creek County case in Colorado, several officers were charged with failing to intervene. But sometimes you don't know what that other officer sees, and there's some real danger in saying, okay, my perspective and my moral superiority exceeds you in the moment. So that's a broad question about this. And I'll tell you, from my personal experience, I was told by my mayor to seize an animal. And there's a long story behind that, but and to put it in the pound. Well, it was an expensive animal. In fact, it was one of our officers who was doing canine work, so it was a dog associated with our department. And I said, no, I'm not going to seize this. This is a Fourth Amendment issue. I'm not going to seize this valuable property and put it in a flea-bitten a cage. And so I was fired for insubordination. Now the public rose up and came to a city council meeting and demanded that I that he rescind the firing, and he did. But those are real world issues that I faced.
Well, I mean, that's an amazing story. You know, I know that from time to time we're worried about people, you know, going door to door and getting, even in the article that I wrote not too long ago, they did that in New Orleans. They've done that in other places. And, you know, I've also seen a pendulum swing with guys in my generation and really we, you know, mine and Chuck's, you know, we would have questioned that. And the polling that I did said that most of the cops would not have complied, or they would have gone into the house and said, yeah, we searched, we didn't find any guns, and left and not have followed through. But the new breed of police officer, that pendulum is swinging to where, I'm led to believe that they will blindly follow orders when it comes to that stuff and not be the independent thinkers. But then again, if I'm wearing a chief or sheriff hat, I want to be able to give orders and not have to worry about, you know, a saboteur, you know, someone, you know, not following my orders or talking to other people not following my orders either, because I never would be able to get anything done. So I don't necessarily have the answer to the issue. I just wanted to cover it. But that was a great point. I didn't realize how close to home I was hitting, you know, when I asked you to talk about that either.
Well, I've said in multiple venues, if you're a chief or a leader and you're not willing to leave your position and give up your job, as opposed to compromising your ethics or legal obligations, then you're not fit for leadership. You need to be able to walk away.
Well, perfect example. All right, gentlemen. Well, thank you. Moving along, we've got another story that we got on hold. It's about SCOTUS. So at FoxNews.com, SCOTUS, Supreme Court of the United States, denies the Florida AG Attorney General request to enforce controversial immigration law. So we'll cover this briefly. Apparently, some other states have jumped on the bandwagon on this, but the Supreme Court on Wednesday, and so we're talking about not the Florida Supreme Court, but we're talking about the U.S. Supreme Court. On Wednesday, they rejected Florida's emergency bid that let it enforce a controversial immigration law that would ban illegal immigrants from entering the state, leaving in place a lower court pause on immediately enforcing the measure. So the justices, they're on a 6-3 vote. A conservative majority Supreme Court, they did not explain the decision, but there were no noted dissents. At issue was the Florida Senate bill. It's called 4C. It would make it a crime for undocumented migrants to enter the state if they've been previously deported or previously denied entry into the United States, regardless of their history, even if they had since gained lawful status in the country. Wow. So reentering the state after being deported would be considered a felony under Senate Bill 4C. An individual suspected of violating that law would be jailed without bond until their cases can be heard in court. Now, the Attorney General, James Uthmeyer, he asked the Supreme Court, and that was last month, to intervene and to block a preliminary injunction that was handed down in April by U.S. District Judge, that was Kathleen Williams. And our Attorney General in Florida argued that barring intervention from the Supreme Court of the United States, its citizens will remain disabled from combating the serious harms of illegal immigration for years as this litigation proceeds to the lower courts, which apparently is what SCOTUS is allowing it to happen. It says its position, Florida's position, was backed by 18 states, which submitted an amicus brief to the high court backing that question. It talks about the ACLU, and I know that we're already winding down for another commercial break, but the Justice Department filed a 33-page amicus brief on behalf of Florida to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the 11th Circuit. Trump weighed in on this as well. When we come back from our break, we'll talk about it. Our second commercial break, gentlemen, we'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. And, you know, they're committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-optics manner, utilizing their CD3, which stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Technology. Now, their flagship product, we all know by now, it's called the Glove. It's helped officers tens of thousands of times with no injuries. And yes, you heard that correctly. It said no injuries. So the Glove has actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a conducted energy weapon or to a firearm, it virtually eliminates weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and their revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me. When it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions that's ever come along. Go to ComplianTechnologies.com today and tell them that Chip sent you. Again, that is ComplianTechnologies.com. Now it's time to talk about Blue the Gold at BlueTheGold.com. If you're struggling with the ins and outs of warrantless searches and seizures, or if you're worried about the liability in case you get it wrong, say hello to BlueTheGold.com. They translate search and seizure doctrines into clear, straightforward concepts that any officer can relate to. Plus, they get the training for free thanks to BlueTheGold.com's free weekly webinars. Now, coming up, it is Cat Out of the Bag Searches on July the 16th. You can sign up at BlueTheGold.com today and join thousands of your peers of Blue and step up your legal game because, frankly, you and your agency cannot afford not to. BlueTheGold.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com. My name is Chip the Block, your host. We're joined by Chief Joel Schultz, Lieutenant Chuck Springer. And thanks, guys, for being here. You know, we left off talking about an update article, and let me just go back and just highlight that. The title of it was, because we have to talk about it, and there's a chance that at least one of these guys may have forgotten what we were talking about before commercial break. So SCOTUS denies Florida Attorney General request to enforce controversial immigration law, and of course, it is called Senate Bill 4C. And so the Supreme Court is going to let this thing wind through the process. We have an appellate court that's pretty much shut this thing down. President Trump weighed in on this as well. But the Justice Department, when they weighed in, they wrote a 33-page amicus brief on behalf of Florida to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the 11th Circuit. The Trump administration told the appeals court that the law in question, it does not preempt federal supremacy over existing immigration law, which is what that was one of the arguments. He argued that the Florida Senate Bill 4C is in harmony, not in conflict with federal law. And the U.S. Court of Appeals for the 11th Circuit it ultimately declined to pause the lower court's injunction, clearing the way for the case to appeal to the Supreme Court. So they're going to let it go through its process. Now, here's some interesting stuff. Florida is not the first state to try to stand up to controversial legislation that blocks illegal immigrants from entering the state, according to the ACLU, at least. At least six other states, including Texas, no surprise there, Iowa, though, and Oklahoma, they've attempted to pass similar legislation in recent years. And this was from the ACLU and the court filing, all remain blocked by federal courts. So all these states that are attempting to do this, their efforts are currently being blocked by federal court. So there you go. Commentary on this, guys, we've got about 9 minutes. And maybe the difference is that we've got a new DOJ and a new presidency. And I don't know if these efforts were started during the Biden presidency. And now that we got Trump, maybe it's not as important. I don't know. Chuck?
Well, without having done a deep dive in this, you know, I've got to say that I don't know that I support Florida on this. You know, we have a lot of criticism on the sanctuary city and states for meddling in the immigration process. And our argument has often been that it's a federal issue. Leave it a federal issue. I don't see the benefit here, to be quite honest with you. Number two, this issue where people that have been deported and that are now back here legally, you're gonna put a felony on them. I don't know the merit behind that, to be honest with you. I usually back Florida in this instance, at least based on what I've seen in the article. I'm gonna have to go thumbs down.
All right. I appreciate it. Good insight. Chief Schultz.
Yeah, I think those are two very important points. I don't think we've ever seen the 10th Amendment batted around so much as we have in the last 6 months. And I don't know that was specifically mentioned in any of the arguments. It's interesting that the court was so silent, you know, with no dissent and no real, legal discussion about what they thought. kind of interesting that the DOJ was in support of the Florida law. And I'm interested in Florida's anti-immigration stance, anti-illegal immigration stance. It's different because Florida's only, the last I saw, is 51% white, which indicates that, you know, there's obviously a big immigrant population in Florida, and you'd think they'd be a little bit more sensitive about these things to allow that to get through the legislature. But I think Chuck's right. It's a federal issue, and probably ought to stay there.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I can think of is that if you have another Biden in office that wants to open up the borders, this would allow Florida to say, hey, you know what? We don't care what the feds are doing. We're going to do our own thing. And I can, you know, after listening to you guys, I can understand the issues that could come along with that. You know, you've got states doing things independently of the federal government.
You know, I think that's a good point, Chip, that you know, we really have to think about the legislation and court decisions, not just, you know, is this anti-Biden or pro-Trump? We're going to have different presidents over the next 20 years and different parties over the next 20 years, possibly even the Communist Party. So it has to fit all of those future scenarios. So that, I appreciate your point on that.
We may have an X party too, right? The American Party, what Elon Musk is going to call it or something, but you know what I'm talking about?
I do, but yeah, it's not going to happen.
Probably not. Yeah, I agree. All right, guys, I'm just looking at the stream. Thank you guys, streamers, so much, man. We so appreciate, you know, our streaming audience. You know, we stream to a ton of locations. We have 6 Facebook pages, and just on, I mean, we're doing LinkedIn and YouTube and a couple Rumble channels, but just on the 6 Facebook pages alone, just on 5 of them, we got 1.5 million people that were reaching on stream. So thank you guys so much. I see Paul Humphrey Bogart. I used to work with this guy. He used to be my corporal. I think that he's actually the guy that bought me that beer when I was on duty, you know, in uniform. Actually, no, I was in plain clothes. But Paul Humphrey Bogart, and good to see you. Thanks for watching the show, Paul. We appreciate it. He's the guy that made me drink that on duty. Anyhow, don't worry, Paul, the statute of limitations, it's already gone. So you're safe. Guys, moving along, we've got some stories with video components, and look, for people that are listening to the show audibly, your favorite radio station or podcast, we will describe in great detail what's going on in any video so that you don't feel like you're being left out on anything. But if we cover a story that you absolutely have to see, and there may be one or two in here, all you have to do is go to our Rumble channel the very next day, because 9 o'clock in the morning on Eastern time, our producer will take a copy of this live show and he'll embed every video that we talk about as we talk about it. He'll put pictures of the good guys and the bad guys that pop up while you watch the show. It's a great way to watch the show. And again, we do that Tuesday through Saturday at 9 o'clock in the morning Eastern time. So on this first story with the video component, it's at rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. A woman armed with a gun and a machete, is she shot by what? I'm having trouble reading this. What agency is that, Chuck, that shot the woman with the gun and the machete? It's a three-letter
LA acronym. County Sheriff's, obviously.
Wow. It looks like it says PD and not SO. I don't know. LAPD officers after a chase ends in a standoff.
Turn around for him. Hey, hey! Get away!
Oh, no! Don't do it! Don't do it!
Hey, stop!
So I'm looking at the show notes I put on this thing. Oh my gosh, it's almost longer than the article. So we're in Woodland Hills, California. Maybe Chuck can share with us what Woodland Hills area looks like. But a woman, her name is Coral Guido. She ends up being shot by police in the Woodland Hills neighborhood after a pursuit ended in a standoff. At one point, she climbs on top of her van.
Turn down, you're over. Grab it. 9841. We're in pursuit of a 451 with the gun. Southbound Woodman from Hart.
Looks like possibly from Fargo. Last unit in that pursuit, just hold your spot. I might see you.
Get out of the car! Turn off the car!
Turn off the car! Stop the car now! Stop!
like third year.
No one out! Stop the fucking car!
Hey,
drop her gun! Drop her gun! Hey, she's got the gun to her mouth! Drop the gun!
Drop the gun!
Drop
the gun!
Oh, yeah, sorry, sorry, it's a radio show. The pursuit location is Morrow and Avalar. Morrow and Avalar. For the CP.
Holding a weapon, she had a it looked like a machete and a sheath, and then she had a gun in her hand. I was amazed it didn't discharge while she's climbing up on the roof, and then she puts it up to her head again. But it all starts in when Los Angeles police, not sheriff's office, by the way, police, they get a call about a possible shooting around 8 o'clock in the morning. So officers, when they get there, and it's a male and female officer, and I suspect that she, the female officer, is probably more junior to the male officer. I'll tell you why in a minute. They about this woman, they say that she's outside of a white van with bullet holes in the windshield, but when we start watching the video, she's pretty much inside. They're trying to coax her out. She's got three good-sized dogs in there. She says she's trying not to let the dogs out while she's getting out. Anyhow, she ends up getting out, and she's crying and bawling. It looked like it's theatrical to me, you know, that she wanted to take their mind off of you know, other crap that she's trying to hide. But anyhow, they're able to get just a little bit of information from her. I it doesn't say this in the article, but she said something about there's different probation statuses that they have, or parole statuses. And so they were trying to determine, she said she was under one status. She wasn't that sure. He went back to the computer to check, I believe, on what status she was. And if everything was like she said, it sounded like she may have been good to go, but they were really there on a shooting call. So they come back. The female officer is watching the woman. The guy comes back and says, "Hey, this is your name, right?" He asked her, and she says, "Yes." And then he says, "All right, turn around." It's like, turn around, put your hands behind your back. She's obviously going to get handcuffed, right? And at that point, she bamboozles from the rear of the van, and she tries to get back in the van. But the guy, the cop, male cop, comes up, and he kind of gets her in a bear hug. Now our female officer, she's panned around, so we got a good bird's eye view of this with her body cam, because his body cam gets like obstructed. And she pulls out a gun. Now, she's kind of finagling the gun, and she's trying to get it. Eventually, she gets up to her head. But before she does that, it's actually pointed at least at the male officer. When this is going on, he backs away. But our female officer, I was pretty impressed. She draws her gun and points it right at the female. Meanwhile, our male officer, you know, he starts yelling. And I'm going to my notes here, and he's yelling. And I wrote it down. I'm looking for it here. He yells, he's yelling, "No, no, no. Don't do it. Don't do it." And he drops his gun and he backs away. And as soon as he starts doing that, the female officer, she drops her gun and she starts backing away with the male officer. And then if you have any doubt that he was talking to the female officer, he yells to the female officer, and there's a slow motion, but he yells to her. He wants her to back up to the hood of the cruisers, is what he tells her to do. And so the female still got the gun out, but by this time she's got it up to her head. But now officers have backed away, and they've got two cruisers. They're not up against the van or anything. And so they're calling in for backup. So while this is going on, the female, eventually she's walking around, she comes back to the front of the van, gets inside, and they're not up close and personal. So she's allowed to drive away. So she's got the gun, and now she's got a van, a 5,000 pound van. And now there's this long chase going on. So let me, I'm filling you guys in with some stuff that was not in the article. So now this pursuit, it goes on for like about, you know, like, I think it's about over an hour. And at one point she gets into a cul-de-sac and she's got to get out. And while we're coming up on a commercial break, this is going to get good, guys. Stick with us. Commercial break. I promise you, it's worth the wait. We'll be right back. All right, guys. Now it's time to talk about GunLearn and at GunLearn.com. You know, as police officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and even disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at gunlearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Affianco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, the founder, Dan O'Kelly, if you have your own agency, he's got a deal for you. You can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. You can go to gunlearn.com to get more information. Again, that is at gunlearn.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. I'm Chip the Block, your host. We're joined by Chief Joel Schultz and Lieutenant Chuck Springer. We left off talking about a woman armed with a gun and a machete. She ends up being shot, poor thing, by LAPD after officers chase her at the end of a standoff. And and wrapping this thing up here and just going back in my notes, she gets to a cul-de-sac, gets on top of the van, gets down, and now she's walking towards a residence, and she's still got the gun. She's got the machete. And, you know, we got a bird's eye of a guy that's got less lethal. He's got a shotgun. I think he's firing the 40 millimeter foam round. But you see him fire, I believe, twice. And then she goes down, but she was hit by gunfire too. But then they talked to her for like 45 minutes. It's just like she's there. And I'm surprised. Maybe she didn't bleed out. But after 45 minutes, they finally go in and they go 10-15 with her. And then they transport her to the hospital. And then for our animal lovers, we know that Chief Schultz is one too. She had three dogs with her. Two of them ended up in animal control. And they're still looking for the third dog. Unfortunately, he got away. But Chief Schultz, love to get your input on this one. We have about 8.5 minutes.
Well, Chuck's going to carry the weight on this one, obviously, and we're not going to be able to get to the Baltimore video, but I think between the Baltimore video and this video, they tie for the What Were You Thinking Award. Just interesting. I've never had the luxury of working with an on-call SWAT team or air support. And so to see all those guys working in the same team, it's a fascinating thing for me to watch. And I'm curious, Chuck, and this is not really relevant necessarily to the tactical discussion, but do you know what it would cost in $20-$25 to keep a bird in the air for an hour?
We actually have two birds in the air at all times. And I would have to, and this was right up my wheelhouse. It's been a few years. I'd have to pull up my docs here and see exactly what it is. You know, the A-Star burns about 45 gallons an hour, roughly, and they're up 2.5 hours at a time. So that's 5 hours at a time, roughly. And that's just fuel, and fuel is a small percentage. The maintenance is the heavy lift in terms of cost. But I'd have to look at the numbers. I don't want to put something out right now and have it be, you know, too far off. But I could certainly look at that fairly quickly and let you know.
Just great.
Yeah, but you know, in terms of this incident in general, first thing to note is you have a training officer working with obviously a very new police officer, and you can tell that she's very new when the pursuit starts. So the training officer's kind of got his hands full, not only dealing with the call, but he's also responsible for a very new officer that's being trained. They get to the call, and obviously this van is not riddled with machine gun fire, right, as the caller put out. And in fact, when you look at it, it looks like there's maybe a baseball bat that broke the windshield. But regardless, you're responding to it as a shooting investigation. Clearly, the subject is having mental difficulties from the get-go. I think one of my preferences would have been, and because you've got a female officer there, pat her down right away. You know, based on the totality of what you're dealing with, you know, shake her down. Number two, you know, when it comes back code 6 Charles, which is our code for a felony want, And it's not always accurate because we have a lot of common names, but it sounds like maybe it was a good name on this one. But regardless of whether it is or not, you treat it as if you've got a felony want on your hands. They should have had some nonverbal communication where they approach this woman together and they're going hands on her immediately and getting her in handcuffs. You know, walking up to her as a lone officer and saying, turn around, you're forecasting, I'm putting you in handcuffs. And that's when she skadoodles around the van. And next thing you know, this is how fast guns come out. Yeah. And he would have been justified in lethal force right at that point, in my opinion. You know, I don't know what his statements are and what he saw. But the incident evolves as it does. You get into a lengthy pursuit. Was there time to maybe block the van in? Perhaps, you know, I don't know what they were thinking. I can't know that without their statements. She gets cornered in at this cul-de-sac. You end up really with a de facto barricade suspect, right? She's armed with a gun. They have no idea it's a BB gun, which it turns out to be, but they don't know that. She's on top of the van. She's unsafe to approach, really, at that point. You've got somebody in an elevated position with a firearm. I don't know the benefit of trying to approach her at that point. I think they do a fairly good job in trying to talk her down. There's initially a lot of multi-communication, but that gets rectified fairly quickly. And from what I can tell, there's dedicated communication officers. Now, as far as the OIS goes, again, I'm going to have to defer to the officer's statements. I mean, my perception is, she's walking towards a residence. You don't know if it's occupied. You don't know if there's people in there that have no idea what's going on, that their door is unlocked. She may have ready access to potential victims. So I'm guessing that the OIS is probably good. As far as waiting 45 minutes to approach her, I see officers with shields. There may be a good argument that, hey, let's get up there and get her into custody. My guess is there's probably a supervisor at scene there and saying, hey, look, SWAT's already en route. Let's just wait for SWAT to get there. You know, we can flip a coin on whether we think that's the right course of action or not. But, you know, a lot of tactical debrief stuff I see, but I don't see a lot of out of policy issues.
Okay. I know it certainly would have been handled differently on over here on the on the East Coast. I hated this. Well, number one, you're right. I told you it's gun call. She comes out of that van, and you're not doing a weapons pat down, and you got a female officer. To me, it wouldn't have mattered. And then handcuff her until you run her to the computer. Handcuff her. There's nothing wrong with that. And that's simply protocol what we would have done. And then watch her drive away and this long chase that you know containment. But I do agree that once you have an armed suspect. You know, if you don't park up and close, you know, and personal to that van before that, once you know she's got a gun, you're crazy to be, you know, getting back in the car and pulling up by the van at that point. It was like a missed opportunity. So, but it's easy to Monday morning quarterback. Hopefully they'll learn from that. I do want to cover this next one here. We only got 2 minutes left, and the chief didn't think we had time to cover it, but I'm going to show him that he's wrong. We do. Rumble.com, body cam video released, final Baltimore police shooting of a 70-year-old, or fatal Baltimore police shooting of a 70-year-old woman.
Sir, can you step back? Sorry, step all the way back.
Can we take the front?
I don't know. I have my say
out. Yeah, yeah.
We're just shot. She has a knife.
Go ahead.
Miss Brooks, we just want to speak to you. You better put that down. Yep, and then I'm going to hold her with the taser. Western 3. Hold the 2711 Mosier.
All right, Goldberg.
I'm going hot with a taser.
Oh, drop it! Ma'am! Drop back! Get on the ground! Drop it! Drop him! We're taking you to the hospital!
Come on!
Drop the knife! No! Stop!
Come on.
Stop
the knife.
Drop the knife.
Come on.
Bam.
Come on. Drop the knife.
I'll taser.
Taser. Got her.
Get down. Get down.
Get down.
I'm coming. Come on. Drop the knife. Taser. Got her.
Basically, it's a 70-year-old woman with a knife, and the officers, it's a health crisis situation. The call was kind of screwed up how it went out, but they're checking on the conditions. There was a foul smell coming out. There was no running water, I believe. And the officers, they're trying to force their way open the door. The woman's opened up the door and sticking a knife out and making stabbing motions. They finally get a key, but they force their way in and they end up tasing the woman. She goes down. And now our officer, the closest officer to her, has got the taser. She gets up though off the couch after being tased. And now she's coming at the guy with, he's got a freaking taser. He's backing up, can't see where he's going, falls over a chair. He goes down. Now she's coming up on him. We had another officer shoots her 3 times and kills her. So that's the way that goes down. 1:18. Commentary on that, gentlemen. It's a taser with a lethal situation. Chief Schultz.
I read some several media accounts of that, and they were not, super critical. Of course, the relative was like, why couldn't they have shot her in the leg or whatever like that? And the chief was a little apologetic, says, well, we have a lot of work to do on working with the mentally ill. But, you know, when we have a non-police response, that firefighter was part of the entry team, apparently, right there. I didn't really think that was very wise. And I don't know why they felt the compulsion to break their way in and get in there. I don't know that there was any evidence that there was anybody else in the house that was at risk. There was, I think, a son that had already escaped, if I understand the story right. So it looked like a little bit of a cluster to me. But again, I wasn't there. I haven't read the reports. I just saw what I saw.
Agreed. Well, gentlemen, another fantastic show. Thank you guys so much. And don't go anywhere yet, but Chief Schultz and also Lieutenant Chuck Springer. And I usually take this opportunity to talk about the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. Lieutenant Rainey Sutton's 501c3 that's helping cops out in the world of hurt that are suffering from things like PTSD and other issues. And hey, speaking of organizations and stuff, we have, at the URL, it's really an email address, schultzco@gmail.com. Chief, you got some books laying around there that you've authored. What do you got today?
Today, I'm going to talk about 15 ways to calm your mind without driving yourself crazy, coping with stress, anxiety, and PTSD. Give me an email and I'll tell you how to get it for, I think, $15. And I'll pay shipping and sign it. So when I die, it'll be more valuable.
Oh, yeah, that's why we love you. All right. SchultzCo@gmail.com. A shout out to our sponsors, guys. Gauls@Gauls.com, ComplianTechnologies.com, GunLearn.com, BlueTheGold.com, MyMedicare.Life, SafeguardRecruiting.com, and also Two Bells. And thanks for the support, guys. We appreciate it. We'll look for you guys back next week, Monday, 12 noon Eastern. But we appreciate support from everybody. Thanks a lot. Again, LeoRoundtable.com.